Very thankful this morning to have the opportunity to be here, and Brother Kenny said, I stand in need of your prayers. Still, after even these years that I've been speaking, I still find it difficult to get up here because I have great fears that I won't properly present myself in a manner that the Lord would have me, and my prayer always is, Lord, either through me or in spite of me, will give you the blessing that he knows you need. I don't know what's on your heart, but he certainly does. And my prayer always is that the Lord would use me in whatever method that he sees fit. I want to talk to you this morning about the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul and his life, I want to summarize it briefly and talk about a particular phrase that he uttered that all of you are very familiar with and you know about it. We don't talk about it a whole lot, and I want to spend a little time on it this morning because I think in what he's telling us here, there's a great example for all of us, and conclude with how this even applies to the church in general. I'm in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, of course, Apostle Paul wrote about half of the New Testament in his epistles, his books, and the one I want to start with that he made this statement in is in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. He makes this statement, and people have found it interesting and intriguing. And lest I should be exalted, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. This is the one he's talking about, the thorn in the flesh. But he starts off this verse 7 and ends of verse 7 in the same way. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. He wants to make sure we hear that point about he's not to be exalted above measure. The Lord has given him a thorn in the flesh. Been a lot of speculation about what that thorn in the flesh meant. It was meant to buffet him and keep him humble and keep his pride in check. A lot of people have speculated, probably the primary, that it was some physical ailment he had that kept him from getting too prideful. And that's what I want to talk to us about a little bit because he had lots of reasons to be very prideful and be very proud, be a very proud man, boast a lot, brag a lot. But he said, the Lord, to keep me from that, gave me a thorn in this flesh. A lot of people believe it was a physical ailment, some physical ailment that kept him humble. There's a lot of people that believe it had to do with eyesight. Maybe he was partially blind. In one place it talks about he had to write in very large letters, and it talks about him beholding some of the epistles he wrote. We don't know exactly what it is, and that's as good as any to me, but it was primarily, though, given to him for spiritual reasons, to keep him from being exalted above measure. Apostle Paul was one of probably the most blessed of the apostles. All the apostles were blessed. They had the opportunity to serve as ministers during the time of Christ. They actually got to see him and witness his miracles and be involved with him and get his teaching directly, hear him preaching, watch him work, watch him busy with people, watch the words and actions he took. I can't imagine the experience it would have been to see him being crucified. Not a pleasant experience, but one that had a long impact on you. Seeing Christ crucified, because that has so much meaning. It is the most meaningful things in our lives, is that Christ was crucified in our behalf. But of all those apostles, Paul was clearly one of, if the not most blessed. The Lord revealed more through him, and that gave him the ability to write all these books of the Bible. You know, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Timothy, Titus, even all the way down to Hebrews, I believe. He wrote all these books of the Bible, which give us great insight. And that's what I want to talk about for a few minutes, is the blessings of the Apostle Paul. And as a result of those, he had to be a tremendous preacher because his knowledge was so great. He's a tremendous preacher. And there's a great lesson in this for all of us, but particularly among the ministers. We need to keep ourselves in check. Sometimes just because we're given the opportunity to get up here and speak, a lot of times we see that may go to our heads or somewhere, and the Lord has a way of bringing us down from that, making us humble. We'll get up here, first time we think we're really doing good, we'll get up here and stumble and fall flat on our face. Apostle Paul exemplifies that because he tells us, gives us in here, how richly he was blessed. And he had every reason to brag and brag on himself and glorifying himself. And yet he goes to great lengths to tell us, no, I also had a thorn in the flesh to keep me humble. And it keeps me humble for a reason. He tells us that. First of all, we know the Apostle Paul was evidently a great, wonderful writer and wise because Peter tells us that. Over in 2 Peter chapter 3, as Peter's ending his book there, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, in the middle of that verse he said, even as our beloved brother Paul also according to the wisdom given unto him hath written unto you, and also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things that are hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest with, twist with, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Apostle Paul takes the scriptures from the Old Testament and tells us what they mean. That's why his writings were so important. We have the Old Testament, which gives us all the old history and all that old law, that very complex legal system they had back in the day and all the problems the people had with it, in which you try to go back and read the Old Testament, read all those old laws, and you'll end up in a mire of confusion. I love the Old Testament, and yet I don't understand it all because it's so complex, so difficult. Paul took those and interpreted them and wrote them for us so that we can understand. We know how our salvation works because of the book of Romans and Ephesians, and how the Spirit works because of Galatians. And he goes through all these and gives us these, all his letters he wrote, these epistles, and that's what Peter's bragging about. Man, of all the apostles, Paul is the only one that Peter mentions by reference and saying he's given you all his good. According to the wisdom given him, he's written all these things to you. He's explained all this to you. So Peter even recognized the only apostle that he truly put out on a ledge. And at one time, he and Paul had trouble because of their egos. They clashed one time before, and Paul had to kind of jump on Peter one time, and that caused a little bit of rift. But in the end, Peter says, Paul was the one that had it all. Paul was the one that knew it. Paul was the one that understood it. And because of his wisdom, he's written it for you. So we learn here how important the Apostle Paul was in his writings. Give you a little background on that, though. Paul didn't always start out as this great writer for us Christians. He was a bad dude. He was bad, but he wasn't dumb. He was an extremely educated man. I want to talk to you a few minutes about his life as one of the Jewish leaders. Go back here, and you don't have to follow me, but you can keep track of these if you desire. In Acts 26, Apostle Paul, we talked about this last summer when we were going through the book of Acts and all the Apostle Paul's teachings and travelings. At the end of that, he appeared before Agrippa, which was a great-grandson of Herod the Great. He appeared before Agrippa, and he's going through and talking to Agrippa because Agrippa was one of these Roman leaders who was well acquainted with the law. It's the reason he got appointed his position, because he knew and understood the Jewish people and kind of how to control them. And Paul is appearing before him in Acts chapter 26, and he said, I've been put before you, Paul said, Agrippa, I've been put for you to answer. The Jews have complained about me. He said, first of all, let me tell you, I'm proud to be in front of you because you understand Jews. In verse 26, verse 3, especially because I know thee to be an expert in all the customs and questions which are among the Jews. I'm glad to be in front of you because you understand Jewish law. As a Roman, though, you're the one person who understands Jewish law. And he said, and from my youth, I've been a good Jew. I was well known for being how a good, strong Jew I was. I came from the most straightest, the most strictest sect of our religion. I was a Pharisee. Verse 9, he said, and verily I thought with myself, I used to tell myself, that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. I used to fight this man. I did everything I could to stop people from believing in Jesus. That's what the Jewish believe. That's what they're accusing me of. And he said, but I was on their side. I was a strong Jewish enforcer of the law. I knew it better than anybody. And I know you understand this because you understand Jewish law. And they're complaining about me. Let me tell you my story. He said, I was one of them. I was a strict one. Which thing I did also in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison. I locked them up. Anytime we found somebody worshiping this guy Christ, I locked him up. Having received authority from the chief priests, I got authority from the chief of priests of the Jewish to go out and persecute these Christians. And I did a good job at it. When they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. I testified against them. Not only did I was a sheriff, did I go out and round them up, and I was a prosecutor, I prosecuted them, but I also testified against them. I did it all against these Christians. And I punished them often in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. I put pressure on them. I put them under physical torture to tell me that they did not like Christ. They did not follow Christ. I made them testify against the person that I was persecuting them about. They were Christians, and so I made them blaspheme him and deny him. It's kind of like we see the torturers do, you know, with them prisoners of war. They make them come out and speak against the United States. That's what Paul said. He said, man, you know, I persecuted them. I rounded them up, went out and hunted them down, rounded them up, tortured them, made them blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I hated them. I hated these Christians. I persecuted them even into strange cities. I left Jerusalem and went out and rounded them up in all the other cities and brought them back in. That's what he's telling Agrippa. He swears that. Then he goes on and says, but then I left on a trip to Damascus. And he goes through that story, and I'll get to that in a minute. He said, but I was the chief persecutor of the Jews who are accusing me now. He said, but I've seen something different and something better. But he said, he's bragging on himself how good a Jew he was. You go back in Acts 21, when Paul was first arrested in Jerusalem and brought before the people there, he's telling them basically the same thing. When the Jews first arrested him, but he was taken to Agrippa later, but I've backed up to chapter 22. He said in verse 3, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in a city at the feet of Gamaliel. Gamaliel, if you go back into Acts chapter 5, Gamaliel talks about him. He was a great Jewish authority, a member of the Sanhedrin, the ruling council. He was a Pharisee, a strict Pharisee. It says in Acts 5, he was a doctor of law. He was a lawyer in the Old Testament law. He was a great teacher and instructor. And Apostle Paul said, I learned at the feet of the best. I went to Gamaliel's school, and I learned Jewish law like nobody else, and then I put it to use. I know the law. I know the Old Testament. I understand it, and I'm going to make people follow the law, and that includes all these Christians. And I persuaded this way unto the death, binding and delivering. I skipped a verse here. It said, I learned at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as you all are this day. Talking to Jews, I used to be as zealous toward the old law of the Old Testament, just like you are. And I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. And also the high priest doth hear me witness, does bear me witness. The high priest knows this. And all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto brethren, and went to Damascus. I received arrest warrants. I received these letters. Open-ended arrest warrants. Fill in the blank arrest warrants. I go out and arrest whoever I want to when I caught them practicing this Christianity. To bring them which were there bound into Jerusalem for to be punished. I was the best Jew. People feared me. Paul is bragging on himself. Bragging on himself to Agrippa there. He had a lot of pride. I mean, he said, people scared of me. I went out and I persecuted them. I arrested them and persecuted them, found them, hunted them down, bound them, brought them to Jerusalem, got many of them put to death. I testified against them even. I did it all. He said, people were afraid of me, afraid to hear. You know, and you go back into Acts a little bit, you go back into Acts chapter 7 when this first began, there's a story about Stephen being martyred, Stephen being stoned to death. The people who stoned him to death, they took off their coats so they could throw stones at Stephen. And who did they lay their coats in front of? Paul, known as Saul at that time, Apostle Paul. He oversaw that. Beginning in verse chapter 8, it says, and Saul consented unto Stephen's death. Chapter 8 of Acts, verse 3, as for Saul, again later Paul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and bailing men and women and hailing men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, they were scattered abroad, went everywhere preaching the word. This is kind of interesting. Apostle Paul's letting us know. I went in and I got people in Jerusalem and rested them up and got them, rested them so much and persecuted them so much, everybody took off. All the Christians left Jerusalem. What did they do when they left Jerusalem? They went out and preached the word elsewhere. People who become Christians became hardcore back in that day. And Paul said, but I was the top of the Jews. I was one of the best. He brags about being a Jew. He was a great Jewish leader. Over here in chapter 9 to begin, and chapter 9 is the chapter in which Apostle Paul was converted, but it started this. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughtering against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues. He said earlier, you know, he got letters. These are open-ended arrest warrants. Fill in the blank, as we call them. You just take them with you, fill them in the blank, and arrest people. That if he found any in his way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound into Jerusalem. He'd go out into these strange cities, as he talked about a minute ago, go out in strange cities and find people practicing and haul them back into Jerusalem. It all started in Jerusalem, and Romans has jurisdiction over all the territory. So he was given the authority to go out and arrest people because he knew the old law, he understood the old law, and now we have this group of Christians that are blaspheming the old law because now they claim they're following a guy who alleges that he's the Son of God. That was a joke to Paul. You don't do that. That's blasphemy. He knew the old law, learned it the very best, was very good. He had a lot of reasons to be prideful and brag about it. And he bragged. That's what he did. He bragged about how good he was. Now, chapter 9 quickly changes in the book of Acts. He tells us, and then he took the road to Damascus. And there the Lord changed him from the inside out. That's where he was what we call born again. He was regenerated on that road. The Lord struck him down and blinded him. We know that they took him into town, and then the Lord went to a minister named Ananias. Now, Ananias came, and he said, we want you to go and put your hand on him and go see Paul and reveal his receive, that he might receive sight again. And Ananias answered and said, Lord, I've heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints in Jerusalem. Lord, this guy's a bad dude. I don't want to go see him. I don't want anything to do with him. So the word is spread far and wide. He spread it a lot himself. He's a bad guy. I don't want anything to do with him. And the Lord answers and said, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me. And Ananias went to see him and follow him and said he'd be filled with the Holy Ghost. We know that Ananias went on and baptized him. And that's the day he converted from his Jewry and became a follower of Christ and a Christian. Now, Paul, we talked about, was an expert in the Jewish law. Not only was an expert, he was a leader. He was a persecutor of it. He was zealous of it. He had a lot of reason to brag and be boastful, and he had a lot of pride about him being the Jew that he was. Now, he was converted just like we are. He was born again just like we are, without our choice. The Lord chooses the time and the manner of the place when he comes and enters our hearts, changes us around, makes us a newborn person. Does that mean we quit being our old person? No. You know, I believe in God, and I feel like I've been born again through the work of the Lord, and I didn't have anything to do with it. I didn't accept him. Hopefully he accepted me. But you know, my old person is still there, and I have to struggle with it every now and then. I think we're going to see Paul saw the same problem, and that's what he tells us. This is when it gets good, I think, from us from a spiritual case, because Paul tells us what he's going through. It's the same things, unless you're different from me, it's the same thing every one of us goes through. I believe in God, and I'm a child of God. I believe that, but I've still got this old person inside me. You think Paul, as brag and boastful as he was, did he quit being boastful once he became a minister, once he became regenerated? Did he have reason to brag after that? Well, let's look over here at the book of Galatians, first chapter of the book of Galatians. Paul says, this is what happened to me on the road to Damascus. He disappeared for about 3 to 5 years. He disappeared and went off by himself. Verse 11 of Galatians 1 says, but I certify to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. Now, I learned all the old Jewish law. I knew it. I learned it at Gamaliel's feet. I know it all, knew it, raised it strictly. But now, I preach a different gospel. Where did I get it? What seminary did I go to? Who did I learn it from? He said, I didn't learn it from any man. He's telling us how the New Testament works and the New Covenant works. The Lord came in my heart and revealed it to me. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Christ taught me about the gospel, and he taught me about the doctrine of grace. I knew the law. I knew it. I studied it. And that's the thing about the law. It's physical. It's of man. The law is of man. It's made of man. It was made for man back then. Men couldn't follow it. We still couldn't today, and we can't today. But he said, now I'm under the doctrine of grace that was given to me directly by revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, part of the deal is the Lord gave by revelation to Paul more than he did anybody else. At least Paul put it down for us, and he's revealed a lot to him. And he goes on like this, and he says, for you have heard of my conversation in times past in the Jewish religion. You've heard me talk about and brag about what a strong Jew I was and what a real prosecutor I was. People were afraid of me. He brags about how good a Jew he was. And how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. Did everything I could. Again, he's a little bit bragging again about himself. And profited in the Jews' religion above many of my equals. I was better than any Jew at being a Jew. There was nobody who was as good as I was. No Jew as good at being a Jew as I was. I was good at it. Being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. Boy, I made sure everybody, I knew the law, I kept it, I knew it better than anybody else. Nobody was as good a Jew as I was. But when it pleased God, he goes, but then a change in my life. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son to me. Now, how did he learn about Christ? How did he learn who Christ was? Christ was just a man that he hated. He hated his followers. But he said, suddenly something happened inside me. It wasn't because of anything I did, because I persecuted him severely. He said, when it pleased God to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. He's talking about us Gentiles, is who he's talking about. Anybody that wasn't a Jew was a Gentile, and also they called them heathens. You were the Jew, or you were part of the what do we call them? I don't want to get into politics, but... you know, the deplorables. These were the deplorables. Thank you. He said, to reveal his son to me that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. I didn't go ask man, is this right or wrong? He says, because the Lord put it directly in my heart. Neither when I went to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me. I didn't go confer with all the preachers. I didn't confer with anybody else. Lord came directly into my heart. But I went into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went to Jerusalem to see Peter. Said, I went out in the desert of Arabia, studied 3 years. Again, he knew all the Old Testament, didn't need to study that. He was familiar with all the old law. There wasn't any New Testament yet. But I went out and said, the Lord revealed a lot of stuff directly in my heart. Apostle Paul says, I know what the Old Testament was about. It was to tell us about Christ. And we're not under that old doctrine of law anymore. We're under the doctrine of grace. That's what he learned when he was out in the desert. If you go over here into the book of Ephesians, he tells us what he did when he became a Christian. Book of Ephesians, you go over here in the very first chapter. Let me just go skip to this. I want to spend a matter of time. Verse 9, he said, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. He's revealed to me mysteries that other people didn't know. If you turn the page a couple over here to Ephesians chapter 3, he said, chapter 3, verse 3, how by revelation he made known unto me the mysteries, as I wrote afore in a few words. As I wrote to you back in the first chapter, they didn't have chapters then. But as I wrote to you a little bit ago, he's revealed to me the mysteries. Now, you know, this. If I come and says the Lord's revealed to me, I'm bragging. I want you to know how good I am and how the Lord's chosen me. So again, the pride that Paul has hadn't changed. That's still his human nature. But he's given Christ the credit, but he says, whereby when you read what I write, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. You want to understand this doctrine of grace, go read the Apostle Paul. Go read the book of Romans, how we're all depraved and how we're all sinners by nature, but then how we're saved by the grace of God, grace of Christ. He tells us that. And Paul writes that. And he's not writing on the New Testament. He's writing from his knowledge of the Old Testament and what the Lord revealed to him about doctrine of grace. And as Peter says, by his wisdom he has written stuff that makes you understand that stuff that's hard to understand, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of man, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. It was a mystery back then that our forefathers didn't understand how all this worked in the Old Testament. They had a physical worship service. It's not like that anymore. You go over and read the book of Hebrews, and it says, we're not to teach every man his neighbor to know the Lord. We're going to know him because he puts himself directly in our heart. I don't go out and accept the Lord because I've gotten to know him. He makes me know him first. That I have a desire then to go to church and learn about him. It's the Lord's grace that puts himself in our heart. And that's what Paul's telling us here. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. I'm the one that's teaching you here that the Gentiles now are like the Jews. They're just like they're fellow heirs with the Jews. It's not just a Jewish church anymore like it was in the Old Testament. Gentiles should be made fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. This is what the New Testament's about, the doctrine of grace, us Gentiles. Great news for us that are not Jews. You Gentiles now are exactly like the Jews. You get the Spirit in your heart the same way everybody does, by his grace in which he puts himself in your heart. Whereof I was made a minister. I was made a minister by Christ, according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. It's God's power that made me a Christian. It's God's power that made me understand what Christ is about. It's God's power that's given me the ability to preach. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given. Now, Apostle Paul here is saying, you know, I shouldn't be given. I was a chief persecutor. I've got all this history behind me in which I used to arrest people that practiced this guy. And the Lord has chosen me now to understand it and to talk about it and to write about it so that everybody else can understand it, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, from which in the beginning the world hath been hid of God, who created all things but Jesus Christ. God has chosen me to reveal his mysteries, and that's what he's done in his writing. And the Apostle Paul is really bragging on himself here. He's really bragging on himself and telling us what all he has done. He bragged on himself about how good a Jew he was. Now he's kind of bragging on himself that the Lord chose me to reveal all these mysteries. Apostle Paul go over in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Let me go back. First of all, before I go there, I want to go to Romans. Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, Apostle Paul addressed to us now the problem that he's got. I was a great Jew and I bragged about it. I'm a Christian now and I have to tell you, I'm bragging a little bit because the Lord's using me to reveal the gospel to everybody. And in Romans chapter 7, he says, now I've really got to struggle because I've got the spiritual nature that Christ has given me, teaching me to preach the word, showing me that it's a gospel of grace that I don't have anything to do with anymore. That struggles with my old nature of a sinner. This is the struggle I talked about we all have a while ago that Paul is fixing to tell us about. This is the problem we have in this world today. Those of us that like to think that we are children of God, we are his chosen. He said, there's two natures. We all have two natures. We have the old man in us. For Paul, that was a guy that prosecuted the church and created havoc. Now he is totally flip-flopped and changed, and he says, and now I'm spiritual. He said, but I've got these two natures, the law. I'm carnal, and I was sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. That which I do, I don't really shouldn't permit myself. For what I would, that I do not, but what I hate, that I do. You know, I've got this sin nature in me, and I know better now. And I don't want to do it, but then I go do it. You know, I don't want to have bad thoughts, personally, but, you know, they creep into my mind. And I'm liable to say something to some of my best friends in a moment of mad, when I get mad or unhappy with them, and it may not be their fault, maybe the way I'm feeling, but I hurt somebody. And I went, I know better than that. I knew better than to let my mouth shoot off and be the smart aleck that I am. I hurt somebody's feelings. And Apostle Paul goes through here, and one of the most complicated areas that he tells us, he said, that's the nature of our two sins. That's my nature. I think that's the nature of all of us. We're in this world and we're sinners. That's the basic problem we have we inherited from Adam. Christ has put himself in us so we know better now. And what we have is we have this problem of guilt and understanding. We are sinners and know we're guilty about it. That's why we see the need to come to church. That's why we need to see we appreciate what Christ has done for us, because in spite of our being sinners, he saved us. In spite of the sin we do on a daily basis, he forgives us for, because we're his children. That's what Paul tells us, because this is the struggle between the two natures that we have going on. If you go now with me up here back to where we started today, 2 Corinthians, I'm going to start at the end of chapter 11 and lead into where I started. Into chapter 11, verse 16, he says, "And I say again, let no man think me a fool, if otherwise yet as a fool receive me, that I may boast myself a little." I want to brag on myself a little bit. It's what I've been telling you. Paul, throughout this place, likes to brag on himself. He bragged on himself when he was a Jew. He bragged on himself when he was a Christian. The Lord blessed him abundantly. He tells us how that took place, and he wrote about it here. He said, "Seeing that many glory after the flesh, I'll glory also." I get a lot of glory in bragging on myself, and so I want to do that a little bit. We all do. We all like to kind of brag on ourselves, because it builds up our pride. Paul had a problem with pride before. He says, "I've still got a problem with pride. I struggle with it. I know better because I've gotten it all from Christ." Get down here into verse 23 of chapter 11. "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. I'm more a minister than anybody. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths often. Of the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes." He's bragging about all the suffering I took in becoming a Christian. This reminds me of a bunch of guys, you know, that we'll get around and talk sometime about, you know, I hurt my ankle in football. Well, I hurt my side. You want to see my scar? I got shot in the war. Let me show you. You know, we like to brag when we've gone through a lot of troubles and persecutions. And that's what he's doing. "I suffered more than anybody." Well, he's bragging about it. "I suffered more than anybody. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I was shipwrecked. A night and a day have I been in the deep." He goes through and tells all the places he's been persecuted for what all he's done. Then in chapter 12, he tells us, and now here's the greatest blessing that I've gotten. He talks about here, and I've spoken on this before, about how he was carried up into the third heaven. If you go back in Acts chapter 14, it talks about they stoned him one time, stoned him so much everybody thought he was dead. They took him and drug him out of the city. It had to be an hour or two to get him out of the city. Once they got out of there, they all thought he was dead and were looking at his body. Suddenly, he rose up. Well, that's the part most people believe this. When he was witnessing that, it's what he's talking about in the opening part of the 12th chapter of the Corinthians. He said, "I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago." Every commentary, everybody says he's talking about himself. "This happened to me 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I can't tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. He had a vision. He was carried up into heaven during this time. I cannot tell, but God knoweth. Such one caught up into the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, but God knoweth. And how that he was caught up into paradise, up into actual heaven, and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for man to utter." I was carried right up into heaven. God allowed me to come up into heaven. Only man that God's ever allowed to do that. Now, Enoch was translated into heaven. Over in Hebrews chapter 11, there the Apostle Paul tells us that Enoch was translated into heaven. But Enoch wasn't allowed to come back. Elijah over in 2 Kings was transported up into heaven by a fiery chariot. But he didn't come back. Neither one of those two men died. The Apostle Paul said, I was carried into heaven, but yet I came back. The only man that's been allowed to do that and come back. He said, and I was caught up into the paradise and heard unspeakable words that I really can't talk about. Of such a one will I glory. I glory in the man that got to go up into heaven. I'm going to brag about that a little bit. I got to go. Yet of myself, I will not glory, but of mine infirmities. I'm going to tell you and brag a little bit on the man that got to go to heaven, but that was in the spirit. That was on the Christ side of me. The fleshly side of me, he says, I'm not going to glory except in my infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me or that which he heareth me. I don't want you to think of me too highly. I've bragged on myself, but I don't want you to think of me too highly. Don't look at me that way. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. So everything Christ has given me and told me, I'm appreciative of that. But of all he's given me now, and he also gave me this thorn in the flesh to keep me humble. To keep me humble, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this I besought the Lord thrice to remove it. Take whatever this physical ailment he had, take it away from me, Lord. You know, the Lord could have made him ugly. I don't know. So that when he preached, everybody would, you know, not look upon him quite as much as what he'd already done. But yet they'd hear him preach and they'd receive it in the spirit. And so he had his impact. But he said, the Lord told me, I'm not going to remove it. My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I want to do work for Christ, and if I suffer for that, that's for betterment. That's to my betterment. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sakes. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Apostle Paul here is telling us that the Lord gives us, has a way of keeping us humble. I've got every reason to be prideful and boast, and I have. I was a great Jew and a great leader among the Jews. I'm a great leader among the Christians, and I've written all these things so you can understand them. But the Lord has found a way to keep me humble. And Paul tells us his experiences, not in a way of bragging, but so that we can identify with them. And why do we identify with them? I'm going to go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we'll close on this. Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians tells us about the church and how we should look at the church. It's a lesson to not only the ministry, but also to those, every one of us here. See, the church is composed of many bodies. Now, you think of the church, you're going to think of the pastor, Brother Kenny, or the speakers, maybe the deacons. You know, we're first of all told, you know, and there's a certain honor into being a minister and a deacon. You know, it's a certain amount of pride that comes with that. Apostle Paul says, but be careful. The Lord knows how to make you humble. And you're no important than anybody else. He tells us here in the first chapter of Corinthians, for the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body. So also is Christ. We're not a church that's, the minister's not a church. I'm not the church, but the kidney's not the church, the deacon's not the church. We're all the church. We're in this together. For by one spirit are we all baptized into one body. For the body is not one member, but many. Now there's many of us in here, and we're all different. We're all different personalities. Not any one of us has bragging rights, though, about being in the church and think the church couldn't get by without me. Sometimes we get feeling that way, don't we? That's our natural deal. The church couldn't get by without me. I'm doing enough and the church couldn't live without me. Well, that's what Paul's telling us here. He says, yeah, it can. It's going to live without me. It's going to live without any of us. He says, but now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it pleased him. Verse 18. The Lord sets the church up. He set this one up like he does every church. And he put it in there like it pleased him. He named some of his ministers. I don't know why. I don't know why he picked and chose like he did. Why did he pick the Apostle Paul, who was the greatest prosecutor of Christians? But he picked him in a big way. I don't know why he picks deacons. I don't know why he picks people to work in the church. I don't know how he does it or why he does it. But it said he has done it as it has pleased him. And if they were all one members, then where were the body? Where's the body if we're individual members? He wants us to all recognize that the church is one body. We're all in this together. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor unto the head, to the feet, I have no need of thee. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. We've got some old people here and we don't need them anymore. They're old and they're not contributing. Apostle Paul says, wrong. Everybody has a place in the church and everybody contributes. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. Well, all I do is carry out the trash. That's my only role in the church, carry out the trash at lunch. And Apostle Paul tells us here, we bestow a lot of honor on that. Not on you guys who get up and shoot off your mouth at the pulpit, but I give more honor to those less honorable positions. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. He compares us to the body parts here. You know, look at, and again, I'll use myself as an example. I'm up here in my body. All I'm showing you is my hand and my face. And I don't think I'm particularly wanting to brag on my hand and my face, but it's a whole lot better than the other parts of my body. I've covered up the parts I don't want you to see. I've got a lot of parts in here I don't want anybody to see. You know, but I can't get along without that. I've got some other private parts of my body I don't want you to see. I cover them all up. You know what? I couldn't survive if I didn't have them all. Even those that are not pretty to look at, even those they're necessary to the operation. That's true of the church. It's not just the ministry. It's not just the deacons. It's everybody has a place in the church. And the Lord tells us, those that think they've got the lowliest jobs, I'm going to actually give more honor to those. Intention. For our comely parts have no need. The pretty people don't have any need. We don't have any need to be given honor because you got your honor. If you got a beautiful face, you get honor in that. We don't need that. But he said, those people who we sometimes may look down upon, not give them much credit, that's the people who are honorable in his opinion. But God has tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. And there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for the other. And whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it. Or one member honored, all members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. God set some in the church. First he set the apostles, and then he said he set these. But he put every one of us in the church. Every one of you are a member of this church, and you have a place in this church. You think, well, I don't get up and speak, and I don't work in the kitchen, and I don't make the business decisions. Lord says, the less comely parts are those that I give greater honor to. And you're needed and you're necessary. Not only are you needed for the operation of the church, you're needed for Sunday morning. You're here today, and it's a great encouragement to the person that's speaking up here. You know, the one thing about us up here, we don't get to take a day off. And I'll tell you, it's not fun to get up here to try to preach. It's fun when you actually preach, because it's the Lord blessing you, and it's the Lord doing it. And that's what the Apostle Paul showed us within his life. Well, I've got lots of reasons to brag in the world, and I got lots to brag over us. But the Lord has tempered those of us who get a higher opinion of ourselves than we ought to have. And he tells us that's also true about the body of the church. We all have a place in the church. We all have a spot. Your place is just as important as the person up here speaking or leading a song. Your being present in this congregation is important to the body. Not only are you inspiring the ministry, you're inspiring each other. It's important that you come and participate in the church, sing the song, help pray with the person who's praying, help pray for the people who's speaking. We're not up here speaking to you. We're all in this together, worshiping one, and that's the Lord. That's what Apostle Paul, I think, gives us in his lessons in his life. And I encourage you to read the Apostle Paul because he has done more to help us understand what's taking place here than anybody else, how the doctrine of grace works in our life. You've been very kind to me with your attention, and my prayer is the Lord will receive.